This is topic 11. In the next three topics, we'll review various ways of analyzing coaching behaviors. A major factor that affects the performance of athletes is the type of coaching received. For many years, professional coaching services have been offered by untrained individuals who provided energy and dedication as a model for athlete participation. The recent trend toward coaching education is a large step toward elevating the quality of coaching that can be provided athletes. However, an incomplete professional function still exists among coaches, including those who have attained certification. It is now necessary for coaches to take the next step and subject themselves to periodic assessment with regard to the nature of their competency and effectiveness. In these final three topics, we look at three different forms of measurement for coaching effectiveness: self-evaluation, observational analysis, and client analysis. Winning, the direct recognition gained by an organization, and all the vicarious experiences of successes by supporters are the common assessment methods of coaching effectiveness. Performance and participation statistics of athletes are not sufficiently detailed to provide in-depth understandings of coaching effects. These three workshops discuss valid and reliable measurement tools that assess effective coaching behaviors. This progressive attempt to have coaches involve themselves in analysis of coaching effectiveness is meant to assist coaches to perform their function better. The use of the tools provided in these workshops is restricted to certain understandings, which, if violated, would negate the validity of the tools. The first understanding is that analyses should not be used in any punitive manner. The tools that are included focus on aspects of good coaching performance. They ascertain coaching strengths and weaknesses. When features are weak, a coach should attempt to improve them. If changes are made, the coach should become more effective. The second understanding is that analysis tools are limited to training situations. Training sessions are the most important opportunities for coaches to alter athlete behaviors. Competition performances are pure indices of the degree of training benefits which have been experienced by athletes. There is no validity in inferring results from these analyses as to how the coach functions in competitive situations. To measure that, other tools have to be developed. The third understanding is that poor results on these tests can be a good thing. Because someone has low evaluations on any or all the tools in these workshops does not mean that the coach is poor. Rather, a better interpretation is that the coach has room for improvement and can become more effective. Periodic re-evaluation should occur to measure improvements. It is with that perspective that coaching evaluation should be embraced. The fourth understanding is that when coaches will not change is when a problem is located. If coaches are evaluated as being poor and they do not attempt to change in the implicit better directions encompassed by the tools, then there is a problem. Solving that problem is an individual task and will not be discussed in these workshops. The three tools contained in these final workshops are biased towards the actions that are best for the participant. There is an emphasis on skill development and the provision of feedback and rewards. Those aspects are the strongest motivational factors for participation in sport. They also represent the most potent coaching emphases to produce performance changes in athletes. Coaching factors of lesser importance are included in the tools but are not emphasized as much as the primary contributors to athlete improvements. It is proposed that if coaches emphasize the behaviors included in the three assessment tools that are discussed, then coaching effectiveness will be high and the performances of athletes will reflect that effectiveness. It is recommended that evaluations be performed periodically. Let me suggest how often these should be done. Perform self-evaluations twice a week for a month, then have a month without self-evaluations. Then repeat that schedule of 1 month on, 1 month off, throughout one's coaching career. Have observational analyses performed every other month. Those analyses will independently verify whether the self-evaluations have or have not been used as a stimulus for coaching changes and improvements. Perform the athlete evaluations in the middle of the season, that is, when athletes are training hard, and at the end of the season, after the final major competition. Those assessments will provide an index of the coaching effectiveness as delivered to the consumers, as well as the overall attitude of the coach towards athletes. It is hoped that coaches will embrace the concept of evaluating their own performances and dedicate themselves to coaching improvement in much the same way they do for their athletes and the way they expect their athletes to improve. This concludes part 1.